As you may recall, I grew up here in South Denver, specifically Southeast Denver by Porter Hospital. I went to Our Lady of Lourdes grade school and remember fondly those years, especially my teachers. My first grade teacher was Sister Frances. Oh, I fell in love, puppy love, with Sister Frances. My third grade teacher was Sister Raymondine. My fifth grade teacher was Sister Fridoline. My seventh grade teacher was Sister Gaudiosa. She was a bit rotund, but she was filled with joy, as the name Gaudiosa means, filled with joy. And my eighth grade teacher was Sister Mark. Of course, there were wonderful lay teachers in between as well. There was a Mrs. Thorne, my second grade teacher. We were all scared of her because her last name was Thorne, and others. I remember, too, in grade school, the last day of school, approaching it with some trepidation because the pastor would come in and give all of us our report cards with that all-important signature on the bottom by which he had agreed that we could go to the next class that we had passed from first to second, second to third, or so on. Nowadays, you just get them on the internet. It's not as fun or as scary as otherwise. But the other part of that trepidation of the last day of school was if we did pass on, we had to change teachers. We had to go from Sister Frances to Mrs. Thorne. And that was a bit scary because we had come to love our first or second or third grade teachers and didn't really know our second or third or fourth grade teachers at that. But it all worked out. Willingness to change teachers. We learned more, we grew up. Which in some sense is one of the key points of today's gospel. So bring your Bibles and now open your Bibles. We're the original Bible church, and this is our book. The Lord has revealed it to his church, our church. Bring and open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, as you look for John chapter 1, we're specifically going to begin in verse 35. Here's the context. John gives us the first 7 days of Jesus' public ministry. The first three of those days are occupied by John the Baptist, if you will. On the first day, John the Baptist appears, baptizing Jesus. On the second day, John the Baptist denies that he is the Messiah. Now on the third day, he points to Jesus as the Lamb of God, as the Messiah. And then on the next day, after this day, Jesus will then move up to Galilee, where on the seventh day, he will be at a wedding in Cana. In any case, we're back to the third day. As the story opens, John the Baptist is with two of his disciples. We know only one is Andrew. The other is unnamed. Remember, as we talk in Bible study, when there's no name to a character, put your own name there. You are invited to be that person. We're invited to be the companion of Andrew in this journey. So John the Baptist turns to the two disciples and says, "Look! I did that the other day with our third to fifth graders in Bible study. I said, "Look! Looked." I said, "Made you look." Look, the Lamb of God. We will hear that at every Mass when we come to right before communion. Behold, the Lamb of God. So look, the Lamb of God. Now, Andrew and the other disciple would have known what that meant. What does it mean that one is a Lamb of God? Lamb, of course, was the meal that was eaten at every Passover celebration. Because lamb was the meal that God commanded the people to eat that first Passover night, thousands of years earlier in Egypt when he freed them. And so the lamb became, on one hand, the symbol of freedom, true freedom, to eat true freedom, to know our true freedom is not in the Constitution of the United States of America, but in eating the lamb, consuming the freedom of God. And on the other hand, the lamb, being the lamb that was sacrificed every Passover in regard to the command of the Lord, was how the Lord most perfectly was worshiped by his people. So Jesus is the Lamb of God, in that sense becomes the most perfect worship of God. So we're to behold the one who is our true freedom, behold the one who is our perfect worship with him of God. So they leave. They are willing to change teachers. They're willing to leave John the Baptist in order to follow the Lamb whom he's pointed out. And that's key to our spiritual and religious life. At times, all of us must be willing to leave teachers. We've got some young people here. They are seeking to join the church at Easter. They're willing to leave the old teacher, the old church, the old way, if you will, to join to a new teacher here. We must be willing to leave the old teachers and move on to new teachers. As John says to them, behold, and what do they say of Jesus? Rabbi, which means teacher. So we're invited to take a look at who our teachers are in this day and age. Oh, you can consider many of people have as their teacher politicians. Many people has their teacher economists or Wall Street. Many people have as their teacher the social media, the internet, our influencers, our likes, our friends, the opinions that we share with other people. Oh, most of the world learns from social media. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true. No. If it's on the internet, it's probably just your opinion. So we've got to be willing to move to the correct, to the right teacher. So they do. Jesus is walking along. They're walking behind him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, whoa, what are you looking for? They were the original stalkers. So Jesus says, what are you looking for? Now that's key. That's key to our spiritual life. What are you looking for? Because it's the question that they are asked, but it's the wrong question. It's the wrong one, as we'll see when we get to the end of John's gospel. What are you looking for? Jesus will ask that first of us in our spiritual life. And of course, what are we looking for? The whole world is looking for peace. The whole world is looking for mercy and reconciliation. The whole world is looking for respect and love and hope. The whole world is looking for racial justice and equality. We're all looking for unity and for care and service. We're all looking for all of those things. Now remember, when we do Bible study, I always say to you, look for the bookends. So this is the first of two bookends at the beginning of John's gospel. What's the other one then? For that, you need to go to John chapter 20, verse 15. So at the end, this is chapter 1, chapter 20 is the end. And in that story, you'll see Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he comes to the tomb, and there's Mary Magdalene. And he says to Mary Magdalene, the other bookend question, he says to Mary Magdalene, you know it, whom are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? So you see, the first question is, what are you looking for? Jesus understands we're all looking for things, even things like peace and love. But Jesus, in the end, invites us to stop looking for those things and to look for him, to look for Jesus. Jesus says of himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one to be followed. He is the only one to be trusted. He's the only one to give your lives to. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our faith, our hope, and our love. Jesus is peace. Jesus is mercy and reconciliation. He is incarnate as equality and respect. He is the one we're all looking for, even though we lower our sights to just having peace. So politicians look for peace in the world, but we understand we'll never have peace unless it is Christ, Jesus, and so on. And so the question is, what are you looking for? And they ask, where are you staying? They don't ask, where do you live? They don't ask, like, when I go to someone's house, can I see your bedroom, little kids? Oh, and they love showing me their bedrooms, their posters, their stuffed animals. They don't ask where his physical location would be. They ask, where are you staying? It would be the difference, if you know Spanish, for example, between the word ser, which is being, and estar, which is location. Physical location. Yo soy sacerdote. I am priest. Este sacerdote está aquí. This priest is here in this location. So they're asking the first question, where are you staying? Which is basically, who are you? What is your meaning? What is the meaning of your being? Queen Elizabeth II used to always say of her husband, Prince Philip, that he was her strength and stay. Philip was her strength and her stay. She found, in some sense, her being in Philip. We heard in the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that when we are in union with Jesus, we become one spirit with him. One spirit with Jesus. Even now, we become one spirit if we allow the Holy Spirit to occupy our bodies. That's what the question is. Where are you staying? What is the meaning of your being? And it says they stayed with him that day. That day, we are told it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, nothing's by accident in the scriptures. God wants you to know it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? Well, because on one hand, that begins the Sabbath. And you could not travel on the Sabbath. To this day, Orthodox Jews cannot walk more than 1,000 feet from their homes. You cannot work on the Sabbath. You must be with the Lord and your families on the Sabbath. So they're teaching us in this way that they stayed the whole day of the Lord with the Lord. And in that sense, too, 4 o'clock was also known as the hour of the apocalypse. Not the apocalypse like in the movie Apocalypse Now. Boom! That's not an apocalypse. That's just a movie that wants to make money off of you. No. The apocalypse in its original definition and used in the scriptures is the hour in which darkness becomes victorious over light. That's apocalyptic. When the darkness begins to win. As night conquers day. But they stayed with him that whole day, so they stayed as the sun arose the next morning, and light again in the resurrection of Jesus for us conquers the darkness. So where is the apocalypse in your lives? Where's the darkness? And we all live in darkness, if not in our entirety, at various moments. When we suffer illness or that of a loved one, when accident takes the lives of people whom we love, when our young people or others whom we love become addicted to whatever it is, when they fail and can't succeed in society, what are the darknesses of our lives? What are the apocalypse? And Jesus is saying in this way, if we just stay with him, then we will know the light when it arises the next day, if you will. And this he includes, especially when he says to them in answer, come and you will see, is how it's translated in English. But now make a note in your Bibles, that's wrong in the original Greek. In the original Greek, Jesus says to them, come and you will become people who see. Come and you will become people who see. See, Jesus and our staying with him is not just about to allow us to do something else, to do something better, even to do something different. No, if we stay with Jesus, we become different people. We are willing to lose this teacher to go to that one so that we become someone different. We become people who see, even in the darkness of the apocalypse. In the darkness of our lives. If we are with Jesus, we can see the light. Jesus says in another chapter, chapter 8, that people who walk in night, in the dark, they stumble because they cannot see unless they walk by the light that is Jesus. The light that is life. Jesus is the light of the world. But as it would say earlier in John 1, he came into the world to be light, but people preferred the darkness. As we say, never go out after 10 p.m. Nothing good ever happens after 10 p.m. in the darkness. So we're being invited not just to do something better, to see, if you will, but to become someone new by staying with Christ. So they stayed with him that day, that is the Sabbath day, but there's another meaning or conclusion to the story. The story also concludes at the end of John's 6th chapter, chapter 6, verse 67. Make a note of that in your Bibles. Because what happens in John chapter 6, verse 67? From here, Jesus goes to a wedding. From there, he has a theological discussion with a Pharisee. From there, he will go back and he will cure the son of a Roman centurion, a pagan. Then he'll go back and there will be a Samaritan woman who's had five marriages and now she's just, as we used to say, shacking up with the sixth guy. And then he will go back and he'll cure these people of their illness. And then he'll walk on the water in chapter 6. And then chapter 6 ends with his proclamation that unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life within us. Unless we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, he says in John 6, you have no life within you. Not just you don't have a good life, you have no life because you don't have the life of Christ within you. When we eat the Eucharist, unlike natural food, when we take the best of a pig, do you guys like bacon? When you eat bacon, do you become a pig? No, you might go, I love this bacon, but you don't become a pig. But when we eat the Eucharist, we become what we eat. That's why it's supernatural food. We become what we eat. And what does Jesus then say in John 6:67? Everyone's gone. They've all walked out. That's too hard. That's just simple. We can't believe that. No, except for the 12. And what does he say to the 12 in John 6:67? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stay? They wanted to know where he stays. He stays on the day of the Lord. He stays with broken marriages. He stays with sick people. He stays with people who don't believe. He stays with the soldier and his family. He stays in the Eucharist. And at the end of all of that is the question, all right, you now know where I stay, especially on the Lord's day in the Eucharist, the first and end, the bookend of the story. Are you going to stay? Won't force us. When they all left, he didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I've got to get another public relations firm. Let me get my soundbite different for you. No, he says, goodbye. Goodbye. He doesn't change his teaching, the new teacher. He says, goodbye. So the choice is ours. We ask the question, where do you stay? If we really want to know the answer, he will share it with us, especially in the Eucharist on the Lord's Day, and at the end, in the resurrection, that is to the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to see that, if we want to become people who can see that, fine, great. And those people will live happily ever after.